Welcome to Innovation Alberta, a program about science, research, and the inventive spirit. I'm Cheryl Croucher. On this evening's program, fatty acids. Dr. Rendell Westlake has spent more than a decade investigating the way plants and animals produce lipids, a rather technical term for oils and fats. Advances in biochemistry and transgenic techniques have put researchers such as Dr. Westlake right on the doorstep of developing designer foods. And technology for success. Edmonton is proving itself a center for high-tech activity in a variety of fields, from computer innovation to biosciences. Meet some of the people behind the displays at the Technology for Success trade show in Edmonton last week. All this coming up in the next half hour on Innovation Alberta. Over the last two decades, consumer concern over the health implications of eating too much fat has turned the food industry upside down. But research is moving so fast, it's hard to keep up with what's what in the lipid department. Take the work of Dr. Rendell Westlake. He holds the research chair in biochemistry at the University of Lethbridge. His research in fatty acids has him working all sides of the debate. Fish oil, canola oil, even the marbling in beef, he's got a hand in it all. And his research indicates that the enzymes involved in the formation of plant oils are essentially the same as those involved in forming fat in beef.
Well, what ties this together is, in general, our attempts to look at fat as an important component of diet, also important in terms of the economy, looking at the global importance of fat and our contributions to that. For example, in the area of fish, fish have a lot of fatty acids within them, within their oils, which are beneficial to the development of brain. And if we eat vegetable oils, which are enriched in a fatty acid known as linolenic acid, they will, in fact, in our bodies, lead to the formation of the fatty acids, which are similar to the ones that we get from fish. But it's recommended that we supplement our diet, or at least include fish in our dietary intake, so we have a source of these preformed complex fatty acids that are important in neural development. And so there's been an interest in actually getting a vegetarian source of these types of fatty acids. For example, by taking genes from marine organisms upon which fish feed to get these fatty acids from, and taking these marine organism genes and putting them into plants so as to get a direct source of these types of fatty acids in plants. And in our work with flax, we've been studying how flax makes oil. There hasn't been much research done on the biochemistry of oil formation in flax. So that aspect in itself is a novel aspect. And what we want to do next is take these fatty acids, commercially available fatty acids, which are like the ones found in fish, and see if the oil machinery of flax can in fact accommodate them and incorporate them into the oil. So in a sense, what we're doing is a type of a feasibility investigation to see whether or not it's possible to actually do this sort of thing.
What have you found out so far?
So far, we found that flax is active in forming oil, and it actually is quite the main enzyme in flax responsible for forming oil. That would be the last step in the formation of oil, and I'll just give you the abbreviation of that enzyme because the name is quite long. The enzyme is abbreviated DGAT, and that enzyme puts the final fatty acid on. And it turns out that linolenic acid is the major fatty acid in flax, and it turns out that that enzyme actually likes to incorporate that fatty acid quite effectively. So whatever, what nature has given flax, that enzyme seems to be in accordance with that, what it does.
You're also working with beef. Why is that?
We became involved in the beef area in around 1994 or so. The Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada Research Centre in Lethbridge, which is the largest in Canada, we had been working with them previously, and they knew of our expertise in working with oils and fats. And so they approached us regarding projects in the beef area. In recent years, marbling in beef, this is a flex of fat in beef, have been recognized by the beef industry as being an important trait to have. What marbling does is it increases the flavor and palatability of cooked beef. It gives you a nice eating experience. And a modest amount of marbling, a modest to abundant amount of marbling is important to have in beef, and graders assess that quality when they analyze carcasses from cattle. And this trait is a kind of a spurious trait. So it's important to have a tool that can be used to predict whether or not a young animal will in fact eventually marble or deposit intramuscular fat. And so what we've been doing is looking at the oil formation machinery in cattle and trying to find enzyme activities or protein factors that are associated with the marbling trait. And by seeing if these associations are strong, we can then take these tests into younger animals eventually and see if they can be used as predictors of the marbling trait. And this would help beef producers and breeders in selecting cattle to improve their population for this trait.
Is there anything good that people are finding out now or anything different with regard to the consumption of beef and the things that are good for our health?
In a number of recent studies over the past 10 years, it's been demonstrated, however, that beef contains a fatty acid known as conjugated linoleic acid, or CLA. And CLA has been shown to be an anti-cancer compound, and it's also been shown to have a number of benefits in terms of the status of fats in blood. It actually has been shown to improve that. We have been drawn into the research on CLA through interactions with the research station here in Lethbridge. I work with scientists, Drs. Priya and Zahir Mir, and also Dr. Robert Forrester at the research station here. And we're interested in the formation of CLA in beef. And this is kind of throwing a monkey wrench into things, and now we're looking at beef perhaps as a designer food that can be enhanced in its level of CLA. So consumers can start to eat beef and start to feel good about the fact that you're eating a bioactive compound that's going to benefit their health.
When you say a monkey wrench, that truly is it, because you just go round and round in circles as in terms of what you should eat, what you shouldn't. It's something different every day.
Right. There was a recent article in Science, for example, that talked about the soft science of dietary fat, you know, that we're and it's a soft science in many aspects because, you know, we're learning new things all the time. A lot of the studies were done in different ways. But it's very intriguing, you know, what we're learning about fats. And as we press forward, we're going to learn more in terms of the specifics of all this. What are, you know, are these compounds necessarily acting themselves, or is it that they act in combination? I mean, do you have to have these compounds in a certain food environment in order to manifest their full functional effects? And this makes this research very complex because the different labs have to maintain the same environments for those fatty acid, bioactive fatty acid molecules, and in order to make those comparisons.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
That was Dr. Randall Westlake. He holds the research chair in biochemistry at the University of Lethbridge. Coming up, a tour through the Technology for Success trade show. Last week marked the fifth time people gathered in Edmonton to learn about growing successful technology businesses. Touring the different booths at the Technology for Success trade show, it was obvious that computer-based business is becoming a key component of Edmonton's economic base. That observation was quickly reiterated by Brad Guthrie, Executive Director of the Capital Region Innovation Center, the organization that sponsors the Technology for Success conference.
We're trying to promote the growth of science and technology-based business. This is important to our community and its economic viability because tech jobs produce high quality jobs, high pay, and great benefits, and diversifies our economy away from reliance on traditional industry. So there's a concerted effort by the federal, provincial, and municipal governments to diversify the economy, and one of the major targets for that is tech-based business.
Where does Edmonton sit in relation to the rest of the province or the country, as a matter of fact?
Well, I think we sit quite well. We're well suited to diversify in this area. There are certain flavors in Calgary and Edmonton that make us unique, but overall Alberta is doing very well. For example, Alberta as a whole has been found by the Conference Board of Canada to be one of the high growth areas of the country. Greater Edmonton has a census metropolitan area, which is just a fancy way that StatsCan refers to Greater Edmonton. And that is found to be the highest GDP of any census metropolitan area in Canada. We're also one of the most diversified economies, and provincially our workforce, well-educated and one of the most productive. So we're well-suited.
You're sponsoring the conference, Technology for Success. Why is it important to have something like this?
Well, this is our fifth annual conference, and it is important because it provides technology businesses with an opportunity to grow. We try to grow these companies through an in-service training symposium where they receive education on topics specifically chosen to be of interest and major impact in the growth and establishment and growth of these companies. We also have a trade fair here with two major purposes. One is a resource fair. So the tech companies that attend can interact with service providers, both public and private sector, and other organizations that can help them grow, whether it's management consulting, accounting, intellectual property, or patent copyright protection, anything like that. We also have a second function to the trade fair, and that is a tech industry showcase. We get a lot of most of the technology industry business associations participate. We get international trade officers from the U.S., Europe, and Asia to come here to facilitate export overseas business linkages and more through the trade show. So it's a great sort of networking opportunity for early stage companies to get established and grow by knowing who to call, who can help them, who can leverage their limited resources, who's got the expertise and that sort of thing.
There's an awful lot of people who are just kind of heading out in new directions. What advice do you have for them?
Make sure that if they're trying to commercialize a tech product, that there is a market need for the product. The best technology without a buyer is not going to lead to an economic advantage. Most of our companies, though, are growing quite nicely because they do find a niche where they can outcompete competitors and there is a solid market demand for their products. So we've got companies like Matricon with process control and scheduling software growing very nicely. We've got a company called BioWare with, I think it's up to 100 employees now doing computer gaming, getting international recognition now for their work. Intuit, well known for the product Quicken, just built a huge facility in southeast Edmonton. So we've got a lot of momentum in this area. We've got a lot of exciting startup companies in the life sciences. Biotech firms such as CV Technologies and our oldest, most well-established firm, Biomira, which is at Edmonton's Research Park. We've got a lot of great activity, so these companies are doing very well, and they've all found a need for what they're up to.
Thank you very much, Brad.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
My name is Kareem Sayani, and the organization's name is Bio Alberta.
Now, why do you call yourself the voice of the bio industry in Alberta?
Well, we do that for a number of key things, the key reasons. We are the voice because we bring together a membership across Alberta. The membership is comprised of the core biotech companies in Alberta, as well as the companies that supply the industry and other organizations like government and other private organizations that support the industry. What we do is we bring this all of these players together to make a strong and coordinative voice that we can go to government with our needs, and also to investment companies and project one voice so that it's a clear voice that represents our needs and what the industry needs to grow into a stronger industry.
How significant a force is the bio industry here?
Oh, the bio industry is one that has a lot of potential in Alberta. I think right now, especially with everything that's going on in the world today, you'll see that the bio industry generally is one that holds a lot of potential. In Alberta specifically, there are a number of companies that have had recent success stories, like BioMS Medical, like Cytovax Biotechnologies, like Symbiosis, Synsor Biotech, and many more that are growing technologies that are very valuable, not only in agriculture, but in healthcare and other sectors. And this is all done around biotechnology. And it's a very exciting time right now in Alberta, because the growth is really exciting to watch.
Now, you have a number of different things here, including a magazine called Bio Alberta. What's that all about?
The magazine is a really neat production. We've tried to bring together those success stories that I was just talking about, and as well as some of the potential in the industry, and relay that through the magazine. This magazine right now is a premier edition, and we publish it right around the time where the Bio Conference occurs. It's an international conference, the largest of its kind for biotechnology internationally. And this magazine is what accompanies Bio Alberta, as well as the companies that come with Bio Alberta to the Bio Conference. And we had a great review on this magazine and the stories inside it. And also, if I could add, I'm really excited about this, because some of the companies that were written up in this magazine got coverage to the extent that they have been getting support through the articles that other people have been reading, investment support and other types of support. So we're really, really excited about this magazine.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, my name is Dwight Dupuy, and I'm with GoBox Inc.
Now, what's GoBox?
It's an information touchscreen that's placed in hotel lobbies around Edmonton to help visitors and guests find out where to go eat, go shop, and go play when they come and visit Edmonton.
What gave you this idea to get this GoBox going?
We've looked at this in other markets in Europe and North America, and we noticed that there was a void here in Edmonton, so we decided to design a multimedia-based one that was very easy and very fun to use.
So describe this for me. It looks really interesting. You've got a tall column and then a screen at the top, and there's all kinds of things happening here.
Well, it's about 5.5 feet tall, and it's made of brushed steel. We designed it here in Edmonton as well. And essentially, it gives information on where to go eat, go shop, and go play. So it's a very fun and effective way to find out information.
How do you actually run it, in the sense of getting your advertisers involved or getting all this neat stuff happening that's happening on the screen?
Well, we've got an excellent design team that work with us. And essentially what we do is look for advertisers. And it can be as inexpensive as $100 a month up to $500 a month to have placement on these units. And what we're finding right now in our 7 locations that we have in Edmonton, we're getting over 500 visitors a day touching and using the site as a directory to find out where to go eat, go shop, or go play.
Can you give me a demonstration?
I sure can. If you just hit on the go, for example, it pulls you into your main options of go eat, go shop, and go play. And if you're looking for a restaurant, you click on go eat. It would pull you up to a couple different options. You click on American cuisine, for example. And if you wanted to try something like perhaps Divine's, you just touch the logo. It would pull up some pictures and some images of what their place looks like. If you wanted more information, you can actually find out what kind of cuisine that they have there to offer. And obviously, very conveniently, we have a map on there, so you can actually see how far away it is from the current location that you're in. And that's as simple as it works.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name is Nasser Awada, and my title is Marketing Representative with the Proactive Group of Companies.
So you're here today at the Technology for Success Conference demonstrating the Proactive Surface Solutions. What's that?
Well, basically what we do is we deal with GIS software, and we deal with emergency response planning, road use inventory, basically any sort of surface asset management for a company. We mostly deal with oil and gas companies right now, and what we provide for them is sort of basically a database of information available at their fingertips. Companies will come to us and say, there's an area that we want a lot of information on. So we'll take all the maps of that area. We'll take resident information of that area, aerial photographs, GPS coordinates, and we'll put it all into one database so that anybody that works for that company can have access to it just at their fingertips, sort of a point and click. It makes life a lot simpler for them. Access to any information they want to. They don't have to file through a bunch of papers. It's all in the same map.
So how is that different from the way things were done before?
Well, basically what you're looking at is you're looking at a lot of information that can be accessed not only instantly, but it can be updated instantly as well. The old way, where it was basically sort of a paper form, you'd have tons of maps, tons of books, binders just filled with all sorts of information that would have to be updated every year. So you're going back to sort of step one every year.
Now, I'm looking at your display, and you've got pictures of, looks like fire there.
Yeah. Well, that would deal with our emergency response plan. So if there is ever an emergency response needed on a sort of a well site or a sour gas plant, that's what our sort of plan would kick in and make things a lot easier, more efficient, basically make your response a lot quicker. And what that will do is basically lessen the effect of any sort of emergency you're going to have to handle. Originally, we dealt with mostly oil and gas companies, but we have been approached by some, you know, municipal districts, some different government areas, and we can deal with any sort of solution dealing from government to forestry to road use. And this application is applicable all any sort of information.
Whereabouts is your company headquartered?
We're based in Calgary, Alberta, and we've been there for a little over 5.5-6 years. Right now, we're looking to expand into other areas within Alberta, you know, possibly Edmonton, possibly Red Deer.
Thank you very much.
Thanks again.
My name is Susan Monroe, and the company is MECO Inc.
MECO Inc., what's that mean?
MECO is a manufacturer of CDs and DVDs. We're the only one in the Western Prairie provinces. Alberta has never seen a manufacturing facility, and we've been quite welcomed.
So how did you end up getting involved with that and bringing it here?
Well, that's a long story. That's a long story. We climbed a lot of mountains. We did the research. We spent 18 months researching our market. At the time, there was no multimedia statistics, and so we did our own survey of different kinds of companies in different sectors. We developed a market, market segments, 9 different market segments.
What would those be?
Some of them are software companies, software developers, multimedia companies. The music industry is very large. Education, courseware CDs and what have you.
Why is it important to have something like your business here in Edmonton? Can't we go somewhere else?
Well, Edmonton is the multimedia and software capital of Canada. And if you look at it, my past partner actually had a great analogy. What she said was, if you had the best writers, Edmonton had the best writers in the world, but they didn't have a press to print their material so that they could distribute it and sell it, it wouldn't matter that we had the best writers. And Edmonton has the best multimedia developers and the best software developers in Canada and maybe even in North America, but they never had a press to be able to compete internationally on an economical level. And we make it possible for them to do that easier, cheaper, and more efficiently. So you watch this, watch the industry blossom. It'll really blossom now that we're here.
So how much are we talking about in terms of money?
A stat, and I don't remember exactly the number, and it might be a little higher now, but $620 million left Alberta to support the ICT industry last year.
So that's money now that will stay within the province.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tom Sides. I'm with Fraser Miller Casgrain. It's a law firm.
What brings a law firm to the Technology for Success conference?
Well, we find a lot of our clients come here, and we have some clients that are actually at this conference, and we're basically in their space all the time, and they're in ours, and we just like to be here and work with them, have the presence in the technology community. And obviously, as a law firm, we're looking to expand our client base, so we're looking for prospective opportunities as well.
What would be some of the concerns of your clients? Why would they come to you?
Well, my area is the intellectual property technology area, and a lot of companies that are getting started up in this area are interested in, of course, just such basic matters as incorporating the company, but then beyond that, they usually have some technology idea that they want to commercially exploit. So then they're looking to us to how you protect that particular intellectual property, whether it be a patent, copyright, trademark, industrial design, a whole series or slew of intellectual property rights that can protect their property. And of course, we give them that advice so that when they're commercializing their product, they're adequately protected from a legal perspective.
What would be some of the problems then that they face when it comes to trying to protect intellectual property or ideas when they commercialize?
Well, sometimes it's just having an idea and not even knowing how to best protect it, so we give them counsel on the best method to protect it. For example, if you have a patent, which is probably one of the most complicated forms of intellectual property, it's a matter of determining, first of all, whether or not you can register your patent. Is there some prior art out there? Are there some other companies, individuals that have patents that might already preclude you from trying to register your particular patent? So it's providing advice about that in the first instance, and then providing advice as to the registration of that patent and following the client right through the whole process. Once the patents are obtained, then it's a matter of licensing the patent technology.
Now, I've noticed that yours is not the only law firm that's here at the conference. Does this mean that this is a growth area for the legal profession?
It certainly is a growth area. We find, of course, as professional advisors, just like our brethren in the chartered accountant business, that this is a growing area of the business, so of course this is an area we're interested in as far as providing legal advice. It's part of our business success as well. A lot of law firms like ours have been providing this kind of advice for some period of time. It seems to have particular cachet in the past, say, 10 years, and it's a big concentration for our firm, and as you said, in terms of the other firms here as well, their concentration is focusing on the technology area as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Tom Sides, a lawyer dealing in intellectual property issues for the firm Fraser Milner Casgrain. Also at the Technology for Success show, I spoke with Susan Monroe of Miko Inc., Nasser Awada of Proactive Surface Solutions out of Calgary, Dwight Dupuy of GoBox Inc., there was Kareem Sayana of BioAlberta, and finally, I spoke with Brad Guthrie, Executive Director of the Capital Region Innovation Center, the group that organizes the Technology for Success program each year. That brings Innovation Alberta to a close for this week. Check out our website. You can listen to past programs in real audio or download them from the web. That's at innovationalberta.ckua.com. Technical producer for Innovation Alberta is Paul Pates. I'm Cheryl Crocher. Good night.